This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is a special edition iFanboy podcast on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Years ago in the man, he was my mother's biggest fan. We used to walk beside the sea, and he told me how life would be when I grew up to be a man. And years ago we used to play. Welcome to Special Edition iFanboy Show on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I am here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about the latest Guardians of the Galaxy film. Just the two of us. It's an intimate setting.
Actually, it's nice. You know, you and I get, it's been a while. We get to spend some time together, Connor.
I thought that other one.
Yeah. For the record, Josh wants to see this.
Yeah.
It's just you guys, the audience, are incredibly demanding in terms of when we put this out. So usually Connor and I are the ones that can scramble and go see it quicker. So Josh misses out this time.
And it's unfortunate because you guys are spoiler warning, spoiler for the movie. You guys are the ones that, you know, read all the Abnett and Lanning books when they came out, were big fans of Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's unfortunate that Josh isn't here.
Yeah, no, he is looking forward. I remember he did say he was looking forward to it, and his prediction. We got to do all the business before we start talking about it.
Yeah.
But if I recall, his prediction for the movie is that he was afraid this movie would lean way into Baby Groot and the soundtrack stuff.
Right.
So when we get into the discussion, we'll see if his prediction was correct. Okay. But this is the sequel to the surprise hit of Guardians of the Galaxy that came out. What was that? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
It was longer than you'd think. You know, normally they crank these movies out pretty quickly, and I'm calling it up right now, but this was one of the longer waits between prequels and in these films.
Sequels.
It's all it's all jumbled up in my head as I scrambled to type. The last one came out 2014, so 3 years ago.
Okay, so 3 years. Yeah, so I was right. 3 years ago. Yeah, it did feel like a long time. But yeah, so that was the surprise hit. Came out in August that year.
$773 million worldwide.
Jesus Christ. And so now this sequel is on track to make between 140 and 160 million this weekend.
Just in
which is crazy.
In the American market. It's already made over $100 million for them. So anyway.
Yeah.
Another bit of business is, this is I think relevant to the discussion, is that I wasn't on the original podcast we talked about the first one.
Look at you going into the archives. I don't even remember that.
It was Josh and Paul, our old co-host, and then you came on when you were gone. This was during the walkabout period, and you were gone, but you came back to talk about the movie, and I didn't get to talk about it.
Right, yeah. You fucked
off. I actually wasn't a big fan of the first one. I gave it 3 stars, mostly because the cast is very entertaining, and it was funny, but I didn't think it was a very good movie, similar to Rogue One. In that
did you listen? Have you listened to the show where we talked about it? Because I don't remember what I said. I liked it a lot.
You all liked it a lot. I haven't listened to it recently. I'm just going off the comments on the website that I'm reading right now.
Sure.
But I thought it was a series of fun vignettes in search of a plot, the first one. But was redeemed because the cast was very appealing. So that's important to know that mindset going into my thoughts on this film.
Right. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is the, you know, the whole cast returns. James Gunn, the director and visionary of this, returns.
Yeah, writer, director, James Gunn. Same cast. Now, post the events, the last film, this film takes place, which is funny why prequel makes sense too. It takes place only months after the previous film. So in the terms of the timeline, it takes place way before many of the movies we've seen already.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's okay, because this was not connected to anything in any way, so cool.
So Groot was destroyed in the last one. He's been growing. He's a little baby Groot. And I don't even remember where did they start off in the beginning of this movie.
So the beginning of the movie, the Guardians have been hired by these gold people.
Oh, that's right.
To protect their batteries, where some monster is going to come. So, spoiler warning, we're going to talk about what happens in the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, press pause, go see the movie, come back and listen to this, or just be warned. But yeah, so the movie starts with a opening number where they're fighting a big That's monster right. while Baby Groot dances to a 70s tune, right. Which right out of the gate, I was like, oh, well, Josh was right.
Do you want to do your overall high level, or do you want to how do you want to do this?
Yeah. So here's my overall take on it. Overall, I thought it was visually stunning, really beautifully shot. Effects were great. Everything looks good. It was all in all a good movie that I walked out feeling, that wasn't so great. Right? I find it really funny. This is an example of a movie that checked off all it had the comedy, had the characters, had the Groot, had the music, had everything. And ultimately I walked out feeling unsatisfied. I don't think it's a bad movie. It definitely isn't as good as the first movie in my assertion, but I walked out feeling like it was missing something.
Yeah, my thoughts are basically the same as the first one, but I thought it was worse than the first one.
Okay, wow. All right.
I mean, it's funny. The cast is all super appealing, and they're only more so this time. There's a couple of legitimately great jokes. However, I don't feel like there's much of a story in these Guardians movies, and I feel like this was kind of boring.
That was my problem, was that, okay, so here's the thing, is that ultimately what you got is, so this picks up the thread of Star-Lord, Peter Quill, played by Chris Pratt, not knowing his origin, basically, not knowing his mother, mother dies of a brain tumor when he's young, and then he gets picked up and take a space and raised by Yondu and the Reavers, the Ravagers, the whatever they are. And so this picks up that thread, and what you had was this opening sequence of them fighting this monster and these gold people who immediately – and part of it is being a fan of Marvel Cosmic and the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. From the moment I saw – I was like, oh, okay, so that's where we're going, and we'll get to that later on. And that was very, very brief, and then you get a little mini sequence because Rocket Raccoon steals their batteries and they chase after them, and then – out of nowhere comes Kurt Russell playing Ego, the Living Planet, who reveals that he's Peter Quill's father, and you get sucked into this entire storyline about family and legacy, and there's the subplot of Gamora and Nebula, which I didn't care about at all. I just didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a trade paperback, it'd be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2: Daddy Issues.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing was is that they meet Kurt Russell, who, by the way, was wonderful.
Well, Kurt Russell is the perfect spice. You put in any movie, he will make the movie better.
Honestly, my two takeaways from this movie was that the best things of this movie were Kurt Russell and Michael Rooker.
Yes. Actually, yes. Yes.
Michael Rooker,
he was really, really great. Run. Yeah.
Really great. Yeah.
As Yondu.
Yeah. But so what they have is that Ego finds them and takes them to his planet. There's no adventure to get there. It just all happened conveniently. And then we're there forever.
Yeah.
And it just drags and slogs and never really – the thing I liked about the first movie was that there was momentum. We were in space. We were in Xandar. We went to nowhere. You went to a bunch of different places and saw a bunch of things. This – we're stuck on this an Ego – for two-thirds of the movie, and it's boring. It looks amazing, but I found myself more bored in this movie than I was in the first one or in a movie for a while.
I'm sort of mystified by the popularity of these movies. I mean, I get it. They're funny, but I'm just shocked they are as popular as they are. Because I feel like one of the problems is there isn't a lot of institutional information about the characters. Everyone kind of knows the Hulk. Everyone kind of knows Captain America and Thor. Iron Man was the first one, so people know him more. And again, I'm not a Guardians fan, but most people, the 99% of the people seeing these movies aren't. I didn't know, right. I'd forgotten everyone's backstory. So, you know, when Nebula and Gamora are having their problems, I'd forgotten who their father was until halfway through they mentioned his name.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I was shocked that they even mentioned Thanos, because I thought Marvel Cinematic Universe just forgot about Thanos.
And then Drax is, you can see they're sort of moving him towards Mantis in like a flirtation thing. But in the beginning, he's talking about his wife. And I was like, wait, doesn't he have a wife? And I'd forgotten that she had died because, you know, Drax isn't Captain America. I don't know his backstory, you know, like institutionally. So I felt like there was some of those problems, especially for a movie that came out 3 years ago. It wasn't like the sequel was a year and a half ago or something. It's more in my head. I didn't remember anyone's backstory. And that, without providing little bits of that to reset, was difficult in terms of the emotional payoffs you're supposed to have in some of these scenes.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that I think a lot of the big reason why people like this movie is because you've got – it's very much based on humor. Chris Pratt is great at delivering those jokes. You know, Bradley Cooper as Rocket is great. Groot is great. The Drax and his little, you know, like the way he talks.
I like Drax literally. A lot. I think he's fun.
Yeah. You know, it's got all these elements that I think make people like it. And plus the soundtrack and the music, like it's got all these bits. But like, whereas you didn't like the first one because you thought it was a series of vignettes, that's actually what I liked because I wanted to go and all these things and I got the sense of the team coming together. Where this one, it was heavy on story, but it wasn't in any sort of connective tissue I didn't get a sense that this team, like they're talking about how we're a family. I didn't get any sense of that now.
Yeah.
Like other than this, you know, like, cause the last time they were just all thrown in together.
Other than they just bicker. But also I think the jokiness kind of worked against this particular film because anytime they had a serious moment for most of the film, they would immediately smash the audience over the head with a sledgehammer marked joke on it. Like, they would immediately puncture the moment. But then at the end, when they didn't do that and they wanted it to be serious, my audience at least would giggle because they were expecting something funny to happen.
Yeah.
Because they kept doing that throughout the film. Anytime anyone was serious, immediately something really over the top. And I thought a lot of the jokes were very heavy-handed and sort of obvious, and I thought it was less funny this time around. And I mean, Josh was right and Josh was wrong. I think he was right about the music. I think he was wrong about Groot.
Yeah,
I think he leaned very heavily on the music. It was like, oh, you guys love the music last time. We're gonna really make this about the music this time.
Yep.
And I thought that was really heavy handed.
Yeah, they leaned heavy on the music. They leaned heavy on Groot.
I didn't think they did though, because Groot like disappeared for like the third of the movie.
No, I know, but like every opportunity they had to do a Groot joke or to do, you know, the whole opening sequence being Groot, that was like, oh, you love the last bit at the end of the movie? Here it is.
Oh, totally. But then in the middle when they're on Ego, he's hardly in it. And then it's only at the end again when he shows up again.
Yeah, yeah. And don't get me wrong. He was, I mean, like when Rocket and Yondu are trapped by the Ravagers and they're trying to get Groot to go get the Finn.
That was great.
Like, that was funny.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing is that, like, I know we're coming down hard on it. It's a good movie. I think it's well done. I laughed. It was entertaining, but it just felt less than. It felt missing something, you know. And maybe that makes it a bad movie. But like, I'm not saying that's why I'm really struggling with this with this idea where it's like, can you go see a movie and know that it's good but still feel unsatisfied? And I think that's what happened here. It's like,
I don't think it was a good movie. I think it was a fun movie. Again, much like our discussion on Rogue One, I think it was a fun movie that wasn't that well made. I think it looked it was lush. It was beautiful.
I mean, well made. Well, from a technical standpoint.
Sure, from a technical standpoint, sure. I mean, all these movies are they're all on rails. You know, they all look great. But from a film that's supposed to be a cohesive story that tells you something by the end and makes you feel something, I felt like much like the first film, it wasn't successful. It really does rely on this cast. Like, if the cast wasn't as good as it was, these movies would, I think, fall flat in their face.
Yeah, and a big challenge of it is that it, at least for me, is that I was looking for some sort of linkage to the previous movie, to what's going on in the larger Marvel. I'm like, okay, are we gonna is Thanos still sitting on that throne? Like, what's going on? Like, there was one Thanos mention, there was one Infinity Gem mention, but that was it. Other than that, the larger, you know, they've really backed away from the larger narrative of all these movies, which I'm really wondering what the thought behind that is.
Yeah, it's interesting considering the five credit sequences, none of them tied into the larger story.
Yeah.
They were all just jokes about things that happened in the movie themselves. And some of them were funny,
yeah.
But I kept waiting for, okay, where's Thanos? Oh, Thanos will be the next one. And then it just never happened. It never happened.
Well, so two things I want to hit on though, is that one, like I mentioned, you know, Michael Rooker as Yondu was just was fantastic.
He really, really was. Yeah.
That was honestly, like, I felt more emotional resonance and meat on the bone from Yondu's story and his relation to Peter and all that sort of stuff than I did with Ego.
Yeah.
And Kurt Russell, you know. Yeah.
It actually was really sad when Yondu sacrificed his life to save Peter's. I thought that was probably the best sequence of the film in terms of it actually paying off emotionally.
Yeah.
Maybe the only one that paid off emotionally.
Bravo to Michael Rooker. I mean, he was great from from his position with the Ravagers and dealing with his crew and the mutiny and being on the wrong side of it and then kicking ass with the arrow, and it was just great. And then so I did no research going into this movie, right? I knew that it was volume 2 and all this sort of stuff, and I was just like, where the fuck did Sylvester Stallone come from?
Well, that was funny because his name's in the opening credits and I was like, "What?"
I missed that. I totally missed it.
It would have been better if it had been one of those things where they didn't put him in the opening and it was like the Kevin Spacey in Seven thing where his name's the first after the credits.
Right.
I mean, I would have loved to have that moment you had, but I was paying attention to the credits and I saw his name.
Oh, yeah. No, and plus I was kind of off to the side in the theater and that sort of thing. But like, so the combination of like, what is Sylvester Stallone doing here? And then quickly realizing that Stallone and Ving Rhames and Michael Rosenbaum and Michelle Yeoh are all the original Guardians.
Yeah, that was cool.
Stallone is Starhawk and Ving Rhames is Charlie 27 and Michael Rosenbaum was Martin X and Michael Rooker's Yondu. I was like, shit, that's the Jim Valentino Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the one I started with. I was like, oh, neat. Like that. there was a lot of, if you are a fan of these movies, there was a lot of, I hate to say the Easter eggs, but there was a lot of direct references and tie-ins from the comics. You know, leading up to the very end, like one of the five end credit sequences was the gold race of people. You know, she created a new being and they're going to name him Adam. It's going to be Adam Warlock, and which I assume is going to be the next, you know, the next movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so like all that stuff, like as a Marvel cosmic fan, it leaned into that. But I was with a friend of mine who had no knowledge of the comics, and it didn't deter it. Like, again, it's that balance between fan service, but not in to sacrifice the movie. And I thought they balanced that well.
Well, fan service really needs to work in that it doesn't take away, and it's enough that people who know what it means, but everyone else doesn't. It's not like a winking, like kind of Howard the Duck is like on the line of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw him again.
How did you feel about the Watchers showing up finally and them looking the way they looked?
Oh, they looked horrible.
Yeah, I hated the Watchers.
I thought it was funny that Stan Lee is there, and then that's you know that now everyone's going that it's, you know, that's explaining that Stan is why Stan's in every movie and he's some sort of cosmic traveler or that sort of thing. But the Watchers just looked horrible.
Why would you not go giant head Watcher?
They did, but like
they weren't giant head; they were just big head.
Big head, small face. They, you know what they reminded me of? They reminded me of original series Star Trek. That's what they looked like. It was very Roddenberry 60s kind of, these are aliens with big heads kind of thing. Yeah,
also, why not just do one Watcher? We all knew, it's Watu. Don't need three Watchers.
Yeah.
So what else? There was a brief moment where they're ping-ponging across space where they passed the planet from Thor or Ragnarok that we're going to see soon. And one of the characters was there. Was there anything else that was major? I was really disappointed there was no Nova Corps. They were only mentioned.
Yep.
You saw one of their ships briefly in the sequence where all those ego bombs are going off, but there was no Nova Corps. I was really disappointed with that.
I was really impressed, excited to see. I was disappointed. So like when we first met Kurt Russell and he revealed that he is Ego, I was like, come on, that's not Ego. You know, like Ego's the planet. No, so, and later on they showed that Mike Rooker and when Rocket get there, they arrive to the planet. You see the planet is the face, and they're like, "Okay, cool. That they did it correctly. Like that was good."
But I also thought that actually was handled well. I mean, he was sort of an embodiment of the planet made human, and then but he was still the planet, and the planet had the face. Like I thought that was all handled as well. I mean, as well as you can make it. I liked Kurt Russell a lot. I also liked that this was sort of a Tango and Cash reunion between Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell.
Very subtly. I mean, they don't appear on screen together at all. But yeah,
in my heart, Ron, in my heart, it's this Tango and Cash.
Yeah, sequel. I'm sure. And going back to what I said, I thought the Kurt Russell, the flashback to him in '80 was great.
Yeah.
I thought like everything. Kurt Russell was fantastic. I mean, like he was really, really strong. That said, when they're fighting And when Kurt Russell and Star-Lord are fighting, I could, and I get that it's a callback to earlier in the movie, but the big Pac-Man thing, I was like, oh God, don't do the Pac-Man thing. Like that was, you know.
That's what I mean by the really heavy-handed sort of, you know, sledgehammer jokes. And it was, I mean, it's funny. I thought, honestly, my favorite joke in the whole movie was the Zune.
Yeah, the Zune was very, that was very funny.
When Star-Lord gets his Walkman smashed, so he gets, replaces it with a Zune, because that's what all the kids are using on Earth.
Yeah.
But, like, I left the movie and I was like, yeah, okay. Like, So before the movie, we had a trailer for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I should be super excited for Spider-Man. I loved him in Captain America. I love Michael Keaton. You know, I love Tony Stark. I love Marisa Tomei. I should be super psyched for Spider-Man. But nothing in that trailer makes me super excited. And I'm starting to worry that some of these films are becoming really rote.
Yeah.
And that's worrisome because they've been going on for so long and it's the same people making them. It's the same, you know, on rails team in the background making them. And it's, I just didn't think this was very interesting at all.
The thing is that I get the story that James Gunn wants to tell. He wants to tell it's about, you know, it's about Peter Quill, it's about Star-Lord, it's about his upbringing, all this stuff. But like, so in this movie, we find, you know, like we find, you know, like we Quill finds out that he's half celestial, right? And that he's got this amazing power. And then, so he's got a power that he never knew he could use. And then he uses it. And then he finds out that his father wants to destroy the universe. And so he stops him. And in stopping him, he loses that power.
Right.
So it didn't matter like that. That's why ultimately it's just like it's this thing you didn't know you had and now you lost it. So nothing changed.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's what really frustrated me. And so it's also the things he planted on every planet. There's like the blog. Is this what you call back to the blob? Like I was just like, really? That's all this is? Like it didn't make sense.
If you take away all those bombs he planted, it doesn't really change anything.
Yeah.
It didn't raise the stakes. They didn't have to go stop them. They didn't even know what was happening with them. You know, it wasn't like they were like, oh, no, these blobs are going to destroy everything. They didn't know any of that. Only we knew it.
Yeah. Was it solid? Does it dissipate? Does it go away? Like what happens? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know,
you could have taken this away and just had him say, I'm going to remake the universe in my image. And that would have been the same stakes. Yeah. He didn't need all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough. I don't know. You kind of have to lean so heavily on the jokes here because it's so out there. It's an out there concept for a lot of people.
Right. Yeah.
But I thought they leaned too heavily on the jokes this time.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, like the Ravager stuff, I like the Taserface, who is a character from the comics. You know, like that was very funny, and you know, and then the end credit sequences. I get it. Like I get doing five of them is a commentary on doing end credit sequences. We see Groot now as a teenager, and so that was kind of funny. And you know, but the highlight with the two highlights in the credits we're seeing we just get a glimpse of Cosmo. I was like, oh, like, why didn't they go to nowhere? Like, why couldn't they just, like, why couldn't the movie start in nowhere?
Right.
Or, like, they stopped at nowhere? I don't know. But then, but we do see Goldblum as the Grandmaster, which was nice, which was a nice little cameo leading into Thor. Like, I like that Thor is tying into the cosmic stuff, and I'm actually really excited for the next Thor movie. It looks really, really good.
That's one I think will do something a little different. They've got a different voice. You know, the director's from New Zealand, it's a different perspective. I think that's what you kind of have to keep doing. I mean, it just felt so same, but not as good as the last one.
Yeah. Right?
And I think that was the problem with Captain America Civil War. It was so similar to Avengers and so similar to Winter Soldier, but not good as either of those. I mean, I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
This is tough. It's tough. I want to like these movies more than I do, which is hard for me.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I mean, and so, like, I liked it. I mean, because I can lean into the characters and lean into the cosmic stuff and get excited. I think that's what I kind of grasped on. But even then, it left me wanting more. Yeah, I still think it's a good movie. Like, again, like, I thought it just looked spectacular. It looked great. Like, the effects and all the sort of everything, the ships, all the space battle, the gold people and their video, you know.
I like the video game jokes about their ships. Yeah. I like the David Hasselhoff jokes.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, when I left the film, I was like, I didn't really care.
It feels like it's missing a large chunk. And I think he just got too, you know, ego became a quagmire to a certain degree. And it's leaning way more into Gamora and Nebula than I think the audience cares about. Like, I know I didn't, like, I like these characters. I don't even care about that, you know, and stuff. All right, so
are you disappointed that they cut out the Wonder Man sequence?
No. Well, what are you going to do?
Simon Williams.
I know, but he doesn't really fit in the cosmic stuff, though, anyway. He's more tied to Vision.
I'm just saying. That's what they got cut out. It was Nathan Fillion.
Oh, well, I'm more disappointed by Nathan Fillion than Wonder Man. But yeah. All right. So ratings.
2.5.
Wow.
Yeah, I got 2.65. That's the size I'll go.
I'll give it a 3.5 or a B plus. So gonna stick with it? Of course.
Well, here's a question for you. Have you seen the first one since you saw it originally in the theaters?
No, but I've been meaning to. My niece wanted to watch it. I need to revisit that because she wants to see this one. So I may maybe when I get back to New York, maybe we'll do. I'm gonna revisit it and then go watch this again and see how it feels.
Okay.
But right. Yeah.
Well, if you have thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, colon daddy issues, go to iFanboy.com. There'll be a post for the show there. You can tell us what you think. You can also find all of our other special edition shows. We're going to have a lot of them coming up this month. And also now this sort of kicks off summer movie season. So
yes,
you can look forward to Wonder Woman and Thor as I look at my calendar. Spider-Man is in July. Wonder Woman's in June. So you'll get a bunch of these coming up now this year. Yeah. And ending with, of course, Star Wars in December. I was so psyched I didn't get the Star Wars trailer.
So I've seen it, but in our rules, in our media blackout rules, I saw it in the theater, and that's allowed, right?
It's allowed, sure, but I got Spider-Man, I got Thor, I got some other one, but I didn't get. I was waiting for it. I didn't get Thor.
I got Star Wars, and I saw it at Alamo, so they show like other stuff. So, but our next movie is Wonder Woman in the beginning of June. That'll be the next time we come together to talk about a movie. And then Spider-Man Homecoming in July. Then Thor in November, which is going to be a long time to wait. And Justice League in November as well, too. November should be fun.
Well, we have Kingsman October.
Oh, yeah, we got to do Kingsman. Yeah, I want to see that.
And August is the Defenders. And we still owe them an Iron Fist show.
Still owe them Iron Fist, yeah.
There's a bunch of things going on. So there'll be a lot of special edition shows, plus the animated shows that we go through throughout the year. So look forward to all that extra content every week at iFanboy, including our weekly iFanboy Pick of the Week show, in which we talk about the week's books. And until the next time, I am Connor.
And I'm Ron. Years ago when the boy, he was his daddy's pride and joy, but when the daddy went away, it was such a rainy day.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.